Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at httpvoicerepublic.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Bustin' these guns, uh-huh. You know we mean business, is this shit they won?
We did a couple jills together, man, that boy get down. Because I owe him something from when we was locked down. Now it's a one-time deal, then we don't need him again. If you wasn't about that business, why would I bring him in?
It's the hype, man, come up off the ice. You don't wanna lose the light. Red point, point blank, rain, nothing nice.
What?
Fast money, fast cars, it's a fast fight.
Yeah,
it's the hype, then it's the hype.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Michelle Alexander, your host of A Girl's Guide on Air, and thank you so much for joining us another week. And what you just heard is the theme song to Standpoint, the series, which is an exciting interview that we're going to have in our second half of the show. That's what it was. And I'm super excited to talk to these ladies and these gentlemen, the cast, the crew, the creators. So definitely stay tuned because we have an amazing interview with them. Let's see. It's been a couple weeks since we've been off air, and what's been happening in the world? I don't know. I don't know why I'm so nervous tonight. I've got some amazing guests, and I always get a little bit nervous when I do this show, but tonight I'm a little extra nervous, and I don't know why. So let me just kind of go into my spiel about why I do A Girl's Guide on Air. If you follow A Girl's Guide, you know that our mission there is to bring healing, dialogue, and reconciliation to the community through articles. And A Girl's Guide on Air is our commitment to bring dialogue to the community. What we try to do is bring our articles to life and have some important conversations that help our community grow. Sometimes we feature articles on the site. Sometimes we talk about people who are game changers in our community, and that's the kind of show that we're having tonight. Sponsors. We have one sponsor tonight, and that is TAG Magazine. TAG supports A Girl's Guide, and therefore A Girl's Guide supports TAG. I'm a writer for TAG, and I am super excited to be talking with the founder and the creator and the managing editor of TAG Magazine tonight, Ebony Bell. And let me tell you who she is. Ebony Bell, like I said, she's the founder and managing editor of TAG Magazine, and TAG is a bi-monthly lesbian publication that services D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and the Rehoboth areas. She has been immersed in the Washington metropolitan area LGBT community for a long time. She's produced such events such as the annual Queer Prom, Capital Pride Women's Parties, Pride in the Sky, and Put on the Gloves Fashion Show. I want to hear about that one. Recently, she was awarded with the 2014 Outstanding Virginia Award and won the 2012 Capital Pride Hero Award and the 2011 Project Outstanding Achievement Award. And I heard she used to dance in a dance crew. I don't know. I'm going to ask her. So I would like to welcome Ebony Bell to our show. Ebony, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. I know that you and I try to connect on so many occasions, and it's just by luck that you had some free time to sit and talk with me tonight on A Girl's Guide on Air, because a little birdie told me, or just going to kind of plant a little seed there, that A Girl's Guide and TAG Magazine may be doing a partnership here in the near future. So I'm excited about that. And,
so are we.
I know, I'm so excited. I think that, what A Girl's Guide does is it brings, like I said, the articles that are a little bit different than what you normally feature, but I think it will feel a nice little niche on TAG Magazine. So I'm excited to develop that partnership and move forward with that with you. But I want to know, who is Ebony Bell? I know we got your accolades, and that's cool, and that's nice, but tell us who you are. Every day, what do you do? Tell us about your life. Do you have a boo? What do you like to do for hobbies? Just a passion?
How
tell
long is the
Ebony
show?
You just talk.
Okay, that'll work. Well, I'm a 32-year-old, I think I can still say young professional, living in the D.C. metropolitan area. I went to University of Maryland, College Park. I studied advertising and marketing, which is funny to be circling back around and now running a lesbian publication. I specifically live in the Alexandria, Virginia area with my girlfriend and my two cats, very lesbian of us.
I wasn't going to say anything.
And if you ask people, I guess if you ask friends to describe me, I would say, they would probably say if Oprah and Ellen had a baby, it would be me. And if you ask my girlfriend to describe me, she'd probably just describe me as not taking out the trash. So that's probably.
Why are you not taking out the trash, Ebony?
I don't know. I don't mind dishes and other things, but something about the trash, I don't know. But I guess that's a fun little snippet of who I am.
Okay. What led you to start Tag Magazine?
So that's a great question. So I've been around the D.C. metropolitan area for a while, and we have some great publications, you know, catering to all different communities, including the LGBT community. But one thing that always was missing was lesbian images and queer women images. I'm talking lesbian, bisexuals, transgender, our stories, our events. You just weren't seeing them as much as you would see from the gay male community.
Right.
And it's something that I think bothered a lot of people because we knew we existed. We knew we were here. But our stories really weren't being as told as much as they should. Mm-hmm. We have some wonderful people in this community. And so the stars kind of just aligned for me. I've always kind of thought about doing a women's publication or a queer women's publication, but, you know, it just wasn't happening. And then the stars kind of aligned a couple years ago for me to do it, and met a wonderful person who came together to be my business partner, and we decided to go ahead and start Tag. We felt it was a need and it was a void that we would be filling in the LGBT community here in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware. So we thought it was a good idea to start telling our stories and for women to start picking it up and seeing our images. So that's why we started it, pretty much in a nutshell.
Okay. And I guess well, let's talk a little bit about Tag, and then I've got a question about why you chose print media in such a digital age. But let's talk a little bit about the magazine itself. In the print magazine, what type of forums and story types do you have? What can people expect to read in Tag?
So this will probably lead to the next question, but we wanted to create a publication since we are in print, but we're also online, of course. We wanted to create a publication that had evergreen content, that had shelf life to it, that you can put on your coffee table and, you know, pick up that day and then come back to it and read it again. We wanted to kind of create a lifestyle type of magazine. So we wanted to have everything from a home and family section to where we share recipes, we talk about LGBT families, to sex and relationships, travel. We have an opinion section. We have arts and entertainment. We even have a style section. So we really wanted to kind of bring a lifestyle feel to our community, a little something that everyone can relate to. But, of course, you still have news. You know, we have newsworthy content, which a lot of that you'll find more online, like if, you know, somebody is, if we're waiting to hear Virginia will get it together and legalize same-sex marriage, that's probably something you'd see online opposed to print. So we still do cover newsworthy and items and politics as well, but majority is I guess the best way to put it is, you know, if our queer women's community met People Magazine, they'd find TAG.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Now, were there unique challenges with putting together a print magazine versus an online publication?
Sure. Where do I start, Michelle? I think there's just unique challenges. I think there's unique challenges to any business, really, and I think anyone who starts their own business can probably relate to that. Yes, there are definitely challenges, print versus online, but I think I found unique challenges just in the first year of the business alone. I think it's something that we had to start learning is distribution. It's like how many do we print, and where does it go, and where are the women? because we have distribution boxes, and then we also have locations that carry our magazines, everything from cafes to bars to clubs to libraries. The list goes on and on and on. All free pickup locations. But we had to, I think the unique challenge was figuring out where those places were. And then when we would restock, or every other month when we restock our magazines, is, okay, who's picking them up the most, and who's really maybe not picking them up a lot. So that was a unique challenge in trying to figure out, are we printing enough magazines for the demand that we have? So I would say the first year, that was definitely a learning process. But now that we've seen a good amount of growth, and we get emails always asking, hey, when are you guys going to be in this area? I think we've got a somewhat of a handle on it, but it's still a learning process, really. I just went to, it's funny, I went to Freddy's Beach Bar. Shout out to Freddy's in Arlington. And we were, I was there for a drag show, and they were like, we need more. We just dropped them off a month ago. So it's still something that we're trying to learn and figure out, and it's definitely unique.
Okay.
And then if you want, I'll just go ahead and go right into why print, if you want.
Why print over digital? And I actually, you don't have print over digital because you have both. But in a digital age where it's so much cheaper just to put together a website and deliver content that way, what made you decide to actually do print?
Well, besides being an 80-year-old person trapped in a 32-year-old's body.
You're an old soul.
And I don't mind it. I love my robe, my slippers, and my cup of coffee in the morning. But I think that when we talked about it, I mean, obviously we knew we were going to go online. That was a no-brainer. We still felt there were people out there. I don't think print is dead. I think, you know, people think that it is. I don't think it is right now, but there are people that still like to hold something, that still like to receive things in the mail and have that coffee table item.
Yeah.
So we thought about how many people still are doing that, and then we had to do a lot of research, you know, what are the other publications doing? How are their subscription lists? How many people are buying them or subscribing to them? And then we kind of took a leap of faith because we figured this publication is such a niche market that we felt the community would take pride in the publication. They would want to pick up the publication. They would be excited to go to the distribution box on Q and 17th and get their magazine every other month. So really, we were taking a huge gamble because we thought, well, if we think this is such a great idea and it's such a niche market, I mean, a very small, not very small, but a small community within a minority community, I think people will get excited about it. And so on that leap of faith, we, like I said, we took a huge gamble, and so far we've been doing really well. I think people are excited to pick up something that belongs to them. I think what what gets me most excited is when I'm out and about, and I was just at an event called G-Life. That's the Capital Area Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, really long mm-hmm. name, puts on in D.C., and we were a vendor, of course, a lot of the queer women came to our table for obvious reasons.
Right.
And the cool thing is always to see people who maybe haven't heard of us yet. And there was a couple, and she was flipping through the magazine, and she was just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Look, babe, this is for us. This is us. Look at these pictures. This is us. She was freaking out. And
yeah.
And that's why we think, or that's why we do what we do, basically. You know, will our print issue still be around in 5 years? Who knows? I hope so. But right now, there's definitely a market for it, and we took a huge leap, and it warms my heart when more and more people know about us, and they look forward to picking that up or getting it delivered.
Yeah,
I
know.
So.
I remember in Atlanta when I was there, we had a lesbian print magazine, and I wish I could remember the name of it right now. But when it went away, there was a void. There was a void because I remember going to the clubs, and I was like, oh, I want to pick up my copy of whatever it was called. I actually had some poetry printed in there, and I'm like, oh, this is such a forum for us girls because the boys had David. They had all these magazines, but we had nothing. And so when I came here and I found TAG, I was like, finally, okay, yes, this is awesome. I'm excited about this. So let's talk a little bit about your forums and story types. Tell me what you have in, you know, sum up in a few words what you've got on your online site and what you've got in your print site. What are some of the forums and story types that we can expect to read?
Sure. So anything that goes in print will always go online, but as you can imagine, the online version definitely has up-to-date things on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So a few of, to give you a diverse range of things that people can find. So what we really wanted to do is, again, is really make sure that our writers were as diverse as our readers. That's something that
okay.
always comes up in our writers' meetings is are we making sure we're reaching out to queer people of color? Are we reaching out to the trans community, bisexual community, the femmes, the boys, the girls, aging in the LGBT community? So many of these things come up. So with that said, to answer your question, we have everything from really fun topics where, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. We have a writer, Katie Ray, who writes some of our femme problem articles, and so she started off talking about some of her dating nightmares and online dating and some of the catastrophes she's had there, and it's really entertaining. And I think a lot of and they always get a lot of hits because I think people can always relate to it, in some shape. And even if they can't relate to it, they can still laugh at it because they can envision it. So we have femme problems, and then of course, since we have femme problems, we also have boy problems, POI, and that's for maybe trans masculine, gender queer, butch, studs, you know, for us to write their issues or their opinions on things. And the latest article that we have is from our friend Vincent, who's a writer for us, and he talks about the things that you should not say to a trans person, which is really relevant right now, as we have
seen
Laverne Cox and Carmen Carrera just on Katie Couric, and Janet Mock just on Piers Morgan, and just the huge mistakes in talking to really a human being in general.
So we had
Benson write a two-part article about what not to say to a transgender person, which I thought was phenomenal. We also, you know, we make sure, because we are a local publication, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware, we have a lot of events that we post online.
Right.
So, for example, Her HRC, if anybody is thinking about going to the Her HRC event in D.C. this Sunday, We just did a write-up about what people can expect. There's comedians that are going to be there. There are VIP options. There's going to be a DJ battle. So we make sure that we still stay true to our community and make sure that we have articles and event listings for what's going on around town. Our events page is actually continues to be one of our most popular pages because people want to know where to go.
Right. I look there when I want to go out. Not often, but
exactly.
I do look there. Because I'm old, too.
Oh, good. Which is, and we're happy to provide that service for people. As and also people can also find resources. That was one thing that I really was adamant about is making sure that there's a one-stop shop, really for the magazine as a whole to connect our community. And we have a resources page for pretty much everything and anything you can think of for maybe you're coming out later in life. There's a support group for that. Trans supports group, bisexual support groups, genderqueer support groups, women in their 20s groups. And I'm talking about everywhere from Baltimore to Virginia to D.C. to Rehoboth. We have a whole page dedicated if anyone is interested, in talking to anybody or just getting information about the LGBT community. So, I mean, there's so much that, of course, I can talk to you about, but I know that you have other guests that you have to talk
to. So I've got some really targeted questions. Okay, who is your rival magazine? Who do you want to be like when you grow up? Not that you're not important because you're like
question.
Huge, but I'm just saying, who's your rival magazine?
That is a shady question, Michelle.
Is it shady?
I don't remember reading that question in the agenda.
No, I just wrote it. I told
you
to go anyway. Can I tell you?
You know, I don't. I'm going to give you my politician answer. You know what? Right now, I think some people. Right now, I don't think anyone's our rival because I think that there's plenty of room for everybody in this community. But I think if people wanted to, I wouldn't say that they're a rival, but I think people would say, the other LGBT publications here in D.C. and Maryland. But we're also very different.
Wait. Because TAG is the only one that I know of. I'm going to be really honest with you. I was thinking more on a more national level. I was thinking like
this. Oh.
I was thinking,
right.
I'm not trying to ditch local shade. I'm just saying I think Curve needs to wash out a little bit.
Oh.
There, I said it.
Those are fighting words. So we do have dreams, Michelle. We have big, big dreams.
I know.
And right now I would say we're very focused on continuing to grow our market where we are. I think that's a smart decision really for any business. It's to plant your feet and grow. For another couple of years or so. But our big dreams, our goals in the next few years, anywhere from 3 to 5 years, is to start distributing in other major cities. That's Atlanta, Philly, New York, Los Angeles. That is the dream and that is the goal. Because really, if you open up, anyone who opens up our magazine or goes to our website, even though we are a local publication, a lot of that content anyone can read anywhere at any time and can relate to it. You don't have to live in D.C. And, in fact, we have subscribers that live all across the country, South Carolina, Chicago, Atlanta. And I think we've gotten Atlanta thanks to a girl's guide. So thank you for that, for all the support you've been giving us. But it's definitely a big goal that we have for the next, I guess, the 3 to 5 year plan is we'd love to show up in other major cities because, I think the magazine is great and it's great for our community and we're able to share a lot of voices and I'd love to share the stories and images with people across the country. So that's the dream, Michelle.
I'm with that dream. I absolutely support you, Ebony, and I think what you're doing is wonderful. And, as many voices as we have, we need. So I applaud you. All right, we're going to start to wrap this up, but before we do, I've got a couple of quick questions for you. I want you to shout out your favorite sponsors because I know the people that the way that you survive is by your advertising, and the way that you expand is by your advertising. So I want to give you a couple moments to shout out your favorite sponsors and advertisers with Tag Magazine.
Oh, my goodness. Let me open up a big Excel doc
surprises.
Here. No. First and foremost, I do have to say, because I know I'm not going to be able to name them all, but a big thing that I think is so important is support. And sometimes we forget that. I think there's so many ways that you can support this community. And Tag would literally not be around if it wasn't for the advertisers, all of our writers. And if you want to see our writers, we have an About Us section on tagmagazine.com. It has mm-hmm. all of our wonderful writers, and a lot of them, you can follow them on Twitter, read their articles. They are amazing, and they continue to keep this magazine alive along with our advertisers. We've had advertisers from Wells Fargo to Hank's Oyster Bar. Shout out to Hank's Oyster Bar in D.C.
Yep. I've been there. It's a great venue.
Oh, they're awesome. And in Old Town of Virginia, shout out to the Ladies of Lore. They have a monthly party at Cobalt. And, I have to say Phase One. Phase One has always supported anything and everything this community does through fundraisers and support. So I definitely, if you haven't been to Phase One, drop in. They're the longest running lesbian bar in the country, 40 plus years running.
Let me interrupt you real quick. If Katie is on the line, I need her to press one so I can bring her on because I know she wanted to call in. Speaking of Phase One, I'm just saying, if she's on the line, I need her to press one so she can ask some questions if she is. But go ahead, Phase One, because that's an awesome place, and that's always where I pick up Tag, always.
Absolutely. I'll just shout out a couple other people. We have Jonah Wooten from State Farm, and a lot of these people signed on. What the incredible thing is, a lot of these people believed in this publication before we even had anything, which I think says a lot about their character, about their business, and who they are. So I definitely have to say Jonah Wooten of State Farm. And I know I'm missing a whole bunch of other people as well, but you guys can see all of our advertisers. You can see them online, tagmagazine.com, or, of course, you can pick up if you are in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, or Delaware, you can pick us up, or you can subscribe to us. It's only $23.99 for the whole year for us to show up at your doorstep every other month.
That sounds good. I know a lot of you have already subscribed to your issue of Tag or your subscription, Tag Magazine, there in Atlanta. For all of my Atlanta listeners, please pick up a copy. Let's support what we do within our community. We have people who take huge risks in their life to bring us amazing projects, and it is our duty to support our community. So, Ebony, one more quick question. Are you looking for writers? How can someone send an article to you if they're interested in writing for Tag Magazine? Tell us about that process really quick.
Sure. We're always open to anyone who's interested in writing. We just encourage you to send us an email with at least 2 to 3 samples so we can obviously get a feel for your work. You
okay.
can send the email to info@tagmagazine.com. Send us your samples. Tell us what you're interested in writing. And we just kind of go from there. And I would encourage anyone who's interested in writing for us to obviously make sure you look at the site, make sure you pick up a copy so you know our feel, so you know exactly what you want to write for. So, for example, I'm working with somebody now who has an interest in writing about LGBT families, which is great because they see we have a home and family section and they want to, see us thrive with more content. With that section. So I encourage anyone to go to our site, see what you're interested in writing, and send us an email, please.
Absolutely. So if you are, if you want to read Tag Magazine online, go to www.tagmagazine.com. That's TAGG magazine.com. I'm going to tell people if they want to reach out to you directly, how can they do that? Are you on Twitter? Can they follow on Facebook? Tell us how people can reach out to you.
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter. It's just my name, Ebony Bell, EboneBell. You can find me on Facebook as well. And I'm not scared of emails. You can definitely send me an email at ebell@tagmagazine.com, or you can contact me directly through the website, through the contact page as well. So, yeah, social media, website, email, smoke signals, all of that.
Smoke signals. I like that. Well, speaking of smoke signals, I did quit smoking, by the way, FYI. I'm going on 60 days. Just thank you. Thank you. I'll take a bow.
That is great. Keep up the good work.
I know. Okay, so, Ebony, thank you so much. I so appreciate your time here to come on to AGG On Air and talk about Tag Magazine. I'm super excited about the partnership that we will be forging, because I think it's going to make a great marriage. And you and me and our booth need to commit to a cocktail hour, please. So let's make that happen.
Yes, I agree. And really quick, you forgot, speaking of marriage, everyone should definitely, the next issue that's coming out, we now have wedding announcements, which we started last issue, and you can also find our wedding announcements online. But a certain somebody, host of AGG On Air, will be in the next issue.
What?
Yes. So everyone has to pick up a copy.
I didn't know this. So all of you that are not in the D.C. area, you absolutely have to get a subscription now, because me and TGD will be in the next issue of Tag Magazine announcing our wedding. And we took some really fun pictures, too. So,
I love the pictures. You made it so hard. You made it so hard for us. But the pictures are fantastic, and I know people are going to enjoy reading about your story.
Good. Did you have to cut it? Because I know. You know how winded I am. I'm just winded.
It's okay. That's what we're here for. That's what the editor's here for.
Teresa was like, you know, she said 250 words. I'm like, yeah. But everybody knows me. She knows me.
You're not the only, and trust me, you're not the only couple that I'm like, keep it at 250. And then it's like a one answer is one page.
Right.
So
how did you
no
make
worries
me say hi?
Yeah, you guys are just excited, and that's a good thing. You want to share your love with everyone, and we appreciate that.
It is. Well, Ebony, thank you so much. Let's make a time to get together in the next couple of weeks and have a cocktail or six. I don't know, whatever. Next up, we have – oh, and I'm so excited about this interview. We're going to take about a 60-minute – or six, not 60 minutes. We're going to take about a 60-second break, and when we come back, we are going to have the cast, creators, and some of the crew of Standpoint, the series. Now, I don't know if some of you have seen this trailer and pilot, but I'm super excited about this show for so many reasons. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to their theme song. And when we come back, we're going to have Terry, the co-writer and producer of the series. We're going to have Fels, who is a sound master. We're going to have Dred Carpenter, who plays a detective on the show. And we're going to have Patrick, who plays Marco. So here's a break. We'll come back. We'll see you soon.
Do we really get down? Do we bust any guns? Do we know we mean business? Is this shit they won?
We did a couple jugs together, man. That boy get down. Because I owe him something from when we was locked down. Now it's a one-time deal, then we don't need him again. If you wasn't about that business, why would I bring him in?
It's the hype, man. Come up off the ice, you don't want to lose the light. Point blank, rain, nothing nice.
What?
Fast money, fast cars, and fast life.
Yeah.
It's the hype, man. It's the hype.
Okay, that was a little less than 60 seconds, but welcome back from the very short break that we had. This is Michelle Alexander, your host of AGG On Air, and we are back with the cast, the crew, and the creator of Standpoint, the series. I want to welcome Terry Wilson, Fels, Dred Carpenter, and Patrick. How are you guys?
I'm great. This is Fels.
Hey,
I'm
Fels.
Great.
I'm
good. Patrick is good. Patrick, welcome.
Hey, Patrick. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Dredd, are you there?
Absolutely.
How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm wonderful, honey. I'm wonderful. Listen, before we get started, I wanted to give a quick synopsis of the show, and then I want to talk a little bit about the co-creator and director and the soundmaster. Before we get started, though, is Fels on with us? I think that we might have lost her.
Can you hear me?
Oh, you're there?
Do you hear me? Yeah, I'm here.
Yes. Okay, so we got Fels. We got Terry. We got Terry, you there?
Yeah.
Terry? Oh, okay.
Terry got
we're good.
Lost in the shuffle.
Did Terry get lost in the shuffle? Oh, man. Okay, hold on. Let's get her back. Hey, Fels, will you do me a favor? Will you chat me the last four of her number?
Hold on 1 second. Let me look.
Thank you. Okay, while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and give an intro to what standpoint the series is. Now, Terry, Johnny, and Marco make up a team of professional criminals led by Slim. And after splitting up while fleeing the police during a heist, Johnny has an altercation with Slim, setting off a chain of chaotic events for the group. Death, deception, love, and greed are four beats of this heart-pounding action thriller, where nothing is ever as it seems, and the truth varies on each individual standpoint. Now, this exciting show, and I'm going to tell you why I think it's so exciting in a little bit, but this exciting show was co-created and directed by Terry Wilson. Now, Terry has been a creative force behind numerous projects and is now making a name for herself as a filmmaker. In her first project as director of photography and editor, she designed the title sequence for Between Women Season 1, a web series that has become an LGBT classic. Now, after working on Between Women, she edited her first full-length feature, a controversial documentary, Al Nisa, about Black Muslim lesbian women in the Atlanta's gay Mecca. This is a story of five women brought together to an established community where there was none for Black women, for Black Muslim lesbians in Atlanta. Al Nisa was also an entry into the 2013 Seattle Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. FYI, just quick side point, one of our writers actually was featured in this film. So check out A Girl's Guide. You can find it there. For Terry, Standpoint is only the beginning. She has a lot of projects in store, and if you see her name to a project, rest assured it will not be one to be missed. We also have Fels, Master of Sound. She's an engineer, former Chicago MC, music business management major, former co-CEO of Invasion Entertainment, and pioneer of the lesbian hip-hop movement. She's a sound engineer and one of the most sought-after people to work for in the LGBT entertainment industry. She is the mastermind of the audio for this new series and is tasked with making sure that what your eyes see is experienced in your ears. And I think the sound, for me, was one of my favorite things about this entire series, what I've seen so far. So, all right, let's see, who do we have online? We've got, did we get Terry back? Did we lose her? Let's see.
I think Terry should be on.
Okay, give me 1 second. Let me try to get her back. Oh, I hate technical difficulties. I don't see her.
I'll tell us about it.
Okay, I don't see her.
Terry, so
pardon us.
Oh,
here she is. I got her.
Great.
I got her. Terry, are
hello,
you there?
Hello.
Okay,
yes,
we're here.
I have been on. I was here the whole time. I was listening. Yes.
I don't know what happened. I didn't have you on the switchboard. But anyway, let's go ahead and get back to it. So we have Terry Fels, we have Dredd, and Patrick on the line with us. So thank you so much for all of you taking time out of your busy schedules. I know you have a lot going on right now with the promo of the show. You guys just released your pilot, and it is super fabulous. Can I just tell you? Super fabulous. So.
Yes.
So, Terry and Fels, I first want to have a conversation with you, and then we're going to get into some meat with Patrick and Dredd. But Terry and Fels, I knew this with all my guests. I can read your bio, and yeah, it tells us all the wonderful things you've done, but we want to know who you are as people. Terry, what do you do in your everyday life? Tell us about your hobbies and things that you like to do besides, make fabulous shows.
Okay, let's see. What do I do? I eat, sleep, work, edit, and I do it all over again.
That is your life. The life of a filmmaker.
That is my life in a nutshell. I mean, I'm passionate about everything that I do, so even eating, sleeping, working, and editing. That's what I do.
Okay, so do you have, I would say, do you have a hobby, but probably it's those four things.
Well, let's see. My hobbies include web designing, editing, of course. I love action movies, of course. Let's see. What else I like doing?
I can tell.
Oh, yeah. it's kind of hard because I have a lot. It probably would take up this whole segment, but
okay.
I'll keep it short because I talk too much.
Well, let me ask you this question. So when you have a moment of downtime, which I know is probably really rare for you, but when you have a moment of downtime, what is it that you like to do?
My downtime? That is kind of hard. I edit in my downtime, to be honest.
That's not downtime. That's work time. I'm talking downtime. Like, do you secretly watch the History Channel, or do you, you know, like 1970 kung fu movies that you watch by yourself? I mean, what do you like to do when you're relaxing?
When I'm relaxing, I like to sleep and research. So I'm not sleeping, I'm researching. I'm all over the internet, researching different things, watching different movies, looking at the shots and things of that nature. Yeah, that's pretty much about it.
You study your craft in your downtime.
Yes.
Got it.
I love
okay.
what I do. I can't help it. So it's like I'm always working. But it's really fun for me.
That actually says a lot about you in and of itself. It just says that you live, eat, and breathe what you do, and that really is your passion. And so I totally get it. Phelps, what about you? You are a master sound engineer. You've worked on quite a few videos. You've got some projects under your belt. You were a pioneer in the lesbian hip hop movement. What do you like to do in your downtime, though? What do you like to do that just says, this is just, you know, this is Phelps relaxed?
I'm more of a nerd. I like to read a lot. I'm a real big Dean Koontz fan, so I read a lot of his books, a lot of nonfiction books. I recently read The Assassination of Fred Hampton, which was a very good read. It was written by his attorney. And it really showed the political, the ties between the Atlanta and the Chicago community and the history behind that. I like to watch movies a lot. That goes back to me and my mom. That's just something that we just did to relieve stress. We go catch a movie. I like to play video
favorite
games.
Favorite kind of movie?
My favorite kind of movies are the action suspense movies.
Okay.
The movies that have you on the edge of your seat and make you want to think.
Okay. Tell us what, Terry, I think this is probably more directed towards you, and I guess you also, Fels, you know, after Terry answers, but Terry, what moved you to make this kind of movie? Because coming out of an independent scene, or, you know, the independent movie scene out of Atlanta, this is a very different film. This is an action-packed thriller, heist movie that just has, I'm going to tell you, when I watched the pilot, I was so mad at you because you literally left me on the edge. I'm like, what? Excuse me,
that
I can't start, ma'am. It can't end like that. I need to know more. I was like,
that was
no.
The point. Yeah, that was the point.
What made you write this show?
Well, let's see. First and foremost, it's not a film. Everyone thinks Standpoint is a film. I kind of love that, though, you know. But it's an action-packed web series, and me and my brother, we were just sitting last year, actually around this time last year. Let's see, what was I doing? I was editing. I never forget.
Okay.
I was editing, and I saw an episode of, I was over my mom's house. She was watching, what is the name of that show? Burn Notice. She was watching Burn Notice, and something on the show caught my attention. I was like, oh, I want to make a show like that. So I called my brother in the room. I was like, let's make a show. Let's do an action film. Because Standpoint initially started out as an action movie. But then my writer, he was like, nah, you should do a series. You should do a web series. So me and my brother was just bouncing ideas off of each other. Shout out to my brother, Brandon Hicks. I love my little brother with all my heart. Okay.
Hey,
okay,
Brandon.
Back on subject. yeah, we were just bouncing ideas off of each other, and we sent it to my writer, Stephen White. I love that guy. He's an awesome, awesome writer.
Okay. You there?
Did we lose you again?
I don't
know. Okay. Yeah, we're just having technical difficulties. And I think some of that, the technical difficulties that we are experiencing is both D.C. and Atlanta have had snowstorms and ice storms. And so sometimes our power or our phone lines may be a little compromised. So we're asking everybody to please be patient with us as we navigate through the weather. So while we're waiting to get Terry back online, fellas, tell me what drew you to this project. Because I think the sound, I mean, obviously the storyline I absolutely fucking love, but the sound effects and the way that you guys do the fight scenes, and I was just telling Teresa, I was like, oh, my God, I love the fight scenes. They're so real. Like, I feel the punches. Tell me what drew you to this project.
Well, Terry's a creative genius when it comes to editing. And when she brought the idea of the show to me, you know, I was like, as long as, you know, you got everything in order, we can go ahead and do this. And I knew Terry was going to follow through with just making sure that the pre-production and everything was great. She had the idea, put the idea out there, had it written, then she cast it. Once she cast it, then she started shooting. And then she actually started shooting last June. So she wanted to make sure that it was prepared and that, one, we'd be able to provide something of a all-around good quality production for our community, which is something that we haven't really seen, unfortunately, because it takes a lot of money, energy, and time to go ahead and get the resources and the people that you need to put together just an all-around product. You know, filming, the editing, and the sound, and all of that. And Terry, one of the things that Terry was, you know, struggling with, she was like, well, I want to be able to make sure that you're compensated for your time, Fells. I'm not trying to, you know, have you working for free on this project. It's going to be this major. And so, you know, we discussed a few different things, and Terry is very, she learns things very easily. She'll do the research. I had her research microphones, and lab mics, and she went ahead and got the production equipment that she needed to record good production sound, and then she took a couple of pretty much training courses, I guess, on production sound, and she was able to build different rigs for her audio equipment so that even if she didn't have somebody on set to do sound, she'd be able to do it herself and provide, be able to, you know, actually get a lot of good production sound and a lot of what makes or break these series and, you know, these independent films are the fact that you need actually top-notch production sound. If you have somebody on set that knows what they're doing, you can get it with a Tascam or a Zoom or even lab mics or a boom mic. It's just a matter of knowing what to look for. And I knew with her and her special effects and then just my wisdom with sound, I knew we'd be able to put it together and just provide something overall that would just be great. And then she casted Dredd, which was even better because Dredd's one of my favorite actresses. And I knew she was just going to bring a lot to the project. And then Patrick joined on and the rest of our cast. It was just from there, I just knew it was gonna be great. We've just been waiting.
Okay. Well, why this kind of show? And we've got Terry back on the line, by the way. We were able to get her back. But why this kind of show? Why an action, drama, heist show? What? I guess the obvious answer might be because you guys are both action fans, but, you know, why this?
Because, for one, I love action, and for two, I didn't see any good action flicks being done here in Atlanta. And I was like, you know what? Let's push the boundaries a little bit. Let's go ahead and do it. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to do none of the action stuff that you currently see in the pilot episode. I didn't know anything. So throughout the whole process, the filming process, the pre-production process, I was learning this stuff as I go, and I'm still learning. So, I mean, it just all came together. And then
assembled a wonderful team. Shout out to the team, Sadiq, Janine, Todd, Mo, Arnice. I love y'all. This could not have came together with y'all, without you guys, of course. But, I mean, assembled a wonderful team, and we just made it happen. And the actors was just the icing on the cake. It's just a beautiful feeling. I mean, I swear I sit and watch the pilot, like, every day. Because I still can't believe that we did it. That we actually put it together, and it looks and visually, like, just everything just sounds so good.
It does.
I still can't believe it.
I know you did. I get that feeling. I do. I get that feeling. You're like, oh man, I did this. I did this. I dressed this up. I wrote this. I did that sound. I choreographed that fight.
And it's kind of crazy because like everyone is already, the fans are already starting to formulate mm-hmm. opinions of what they think is going to happen. And man, you guys have no idea. You think you know, but you really don't know.
Oh, see, you've already pissed me off already. I already know.
Well, you know, That's good. I want everyone to be pissed off. I want you to be mad. I want you to fall in love. I want you to do all of that good stuff. Because you're going to love it at the end of the day. So.
Look, you left me with that scandal-type feeling at the end. I was like, what?
And you know what? It's funny you say that because I love Scandal, by the way. I love it. I actually reached out to the cinematographer. Oh yeah, shout out to Sandra Rhimes. I can't remember the cinematographer for that show, but I actually mm-hmm. reached out to Shonda Rhimes and I reached out to the cinematographer of the show. And I forgot his name, but we were exchanging emails back and forth, and I was asking him advice on how to do certain things and how to go about doing this before we actually started filming, and he gave me some wonderful advice on it. And I'm not afraid
what
to reach out to people. I will reach out to any and everyone. Like, I will. I surely will. But when we put it together, I was just like, I told my writer specifically, I want every episode to end with a cliffhanger. I want people to be mad. I want people to be pissed. And he never watched Scandal. So I was like, I need you to watch Scandal, period. I want you to watch Scandal. He's like, okay, I'll watch it. So Steven is a trip, but he watched it, and you know, he made sure everything was on point, and we just took off from there.
Oh, wow. Well, you definitely did that. And I have to say, my favorite part of the, you know, I love the storyline, but I love action, too. And I was telling Tress, I was like, oh, my God, I love their fight scenes. Number one, they're so well choreographed. Number two, they seem so real. They're so perfectly placed. Like, I think that they are beating the shit out of each other. And what I really love about your fight scenes is that they're fight scenes. They're not gun scenes. They're not nice scenes. Well, there is some of that in there, but you have brawn. You have men just fighting it out and duking it out like real men, and you don't get to see that very often. And so I just appreciate that form of action and fight scenes in your film, and it's just so well done.
Oh, I appreciate that. Shout out to Matt Clanton of Georgia Defensive Training. He choreographed all of our fight scenes. And, he just really brought it to life because I was sending my actors down to Macon for fight training once a week. So we made sure everything was on point because I said I wanted to have that Atlanta feel because, I mean, I'm from Atlanta. I love my city, you know, so I wanted mm-hmm. to make sure it was as real as possible. And I was researching different fight scenes because I don't like, you know how sometimes you watch action movies and the camera's shaking all over the place and you really can't tell what's happening. I wanted to make sure I didn't do that, but still keep that real feeling, you know. So, I mean, you know, it gets better with time. Some stuff I didn't like about how I shot it, but, I mean, I'm still learning. It's a learning process, but I love the way it came out. It came out awesome. And Phil knocking out the sound design for it was just really icing on the cake. She killed that.
I love to hear what I see. And Phil, you did a phenomenal job on that sound. So I just, wow. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, we were working hard, man. We worked hard for that, especially at the
I know you
well,
guys.
Well, it was time to push it out because we was having a couple of audio technical difficulties toward the end of launching the pilot because we ended up launching it late. But, man, me and Phil was working like overtime, stressed out like crazy. To get it out.
I know I can go if I need it. If we needed to do it all over again, I'd have every confidence in Terry. Just going back and forth, just troubleshooting everything on the fly like we did. That was amazing. I was like, man, I was like, look, my process is slowing up on me. I was like, man, I got 50 tracks of sound on this one fight scene, and it's not letting me sync up my audio like I want to, so I would have to shoot it out, and she would have to fly it over, and it was just great that she was able to work with me that, and that's probably the best thing about it, is being able to work with an editor that,
that kind of got right in the trenches with you and understood what you were doing and didn't just say, hey, take care of this. So what I appreciate about this is that it really shows in the quality of the work that you guys study your craft and you know exactly what you're doing. And, even as an independent project, it doesn't look like an independent project. I'm just going to put it out there. I think a lot of people who see this go, wow, this does not look like an independent project. Mm-hmm. This looks like a professional project. And so your study to the craft and the time that you've dedicated to learn what you do and to do it well shows in every single sequence. So as a viewer, I appreciate that.
I appreciate that, Michelle.
You're welcome.
It's crazy because a lot of people think that I went to film school. No, I've only really been doing this about, 2 years, 2-3 years? And I'm self-taught. So YouTube and Google are that's my teacher. Those are my teachers right there, YouTube and Google. Shout out to Google and shout out to YouTube.
They better pay us for that shout out. Okay, so I got one more question, and then we're going to take one caller because it looks like we have somebody that's been sitting on hold that I'm going to get to in a second, and then we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play an audio clip, and then we're going to bring in Patrick and Dredd, and we're going to talk about the chemistry between these two on camera. So, Terry and Fell, one answer from each of you. What was the most challenging and what was the most rewarding part of this project? Reader's Digest version.
Bill, go ahead.
I guess I'll go ahead. Probably the most challenging part of this project was Terry telling me a few months ago, hey, I'm going to need you to score it. And I was like, what? I had never done it before, but I was like, you know what? I was like, get me the sounds that I need, and I'll go ahead, and I'll be able to do it. And I did it. And I think that was the most rewarding experience was being able to, you know, do all of that, and on top of that, working with Patrick and Dredd again. This was like our second time on a project together. Just being on set the couple times that I was on set, you can tell just from us working together before that the energy, you know, it just added to their comfortable, them being comfortable on set and doing what they do best, which was just acting the hell out of their roles. The most rewarding thing was being able to just come together with a group of people that I've formed new relationships with and continue relationships with. So.
Okay.
Terry.
Okay, I guess it's my go. Okay.
It's your go, Terry.
the most challenging casting. OMG! If you have never worked and directed actors before, you got another thing coming. You really have to research and find out how to deal with actors. Because, I mean, I'm a very straightforward, outspoken person. And I had to learn that I can't talk to my actors like that. You know, I can't cuss them out every time they do something wrong.
You can't do that, Terry.
that was the most challenging, you know, dealing with actors and the casting. Because I've actually casted the lead roles about 3 or 4 times. Whenever somebody messed up, I would recast and I would shoot everything over. I don't care. I don't care how long it takes. I will reshoot it until it's done right. The best thing about everything is just my team. Like, I love my team because when you're like a one-stop shop, so to say, I'm used to doing everything on my own, you know. Mm-hmm. So having a team that you can actually sit back and rely on, that's a beautiful feeling. So that's the best part of Standpoint. Period, is working with my team and watching all of us collaborate and come together and just bounce our ideas off each other and just keep it real with each other. You know, that's the best thing for me.
Good.
Best experience.
Well, we're going to talk to some of your cast members here when we take this quick break. I am about to play a clip that some of you may have seen on the site. It is a clip between Marco and Detective Stillwell. Marco is played by Patrick, and Detective Stillwell is played by Dredd. We're going to play this clip, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. I want to talk about the chemistry that they have together on air. I think that they totally play off each other, and I'm excited to come back and talk to these two. So let's listen to this clip, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes.
You don't even have to say a word. You know why?
Why?
Because I know everything. It's all right here.
You know everything?
Yeah. Everything.
Like what?
Like you're the leader of this high school that we've been after, Marco.
Me?
You.
I'm a leader of a high school.
You're a leader of a high school.
Okay. But we'd be heisting.
Marco, are you kidding me? I know you guys would steal anything that's worth any serious money. Also, it says here that you specialize in martial arts, huh?
Martial arts?
Is that right? Martial arts?
Me.
You.
Wow. I specialize in martial arts. Well, from your little paper, that sounds pretty cool, don't it?
If you think so.
Well, what else does your paper say?
It says you're very dangerous, Marco. And that I should never take my eyes off you. Not for 1 second.
Just listened to was a scene between Dredd, who plays Detective Stillwell, and Patrick, who plays the role of Marco on Standpoint. It was a scene, if you haven't seen the trailer, where they are in an interrogation room, and Detective Stillwell places her gun and her badge on the table, and before she knows it, as she's questioning him, Marco has taken her gun, pulled it on her, flipped the script, come in, she calls her back up, they pull guns, and then he does some funny thing with the handcuffs. And anyway, Marco is a slick, street smart, always one step ahead of his nemesis character. And Detective Stillwell is a no-nonsense female detective that goes head-to-head with Marco. So I want to welcome onto the show Marco, or Patrick and Dredd. Welcome, welcome, welcome to A Girl's Guide on Air. Thank you for taking the time to come and talk with us today.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. I'm the honored one. So I guess we'll just get into the meat of the interview. I guess for you, Patrick, and for you, Dredd, what drew you to this role?
Go ahead, Dredd.
Okay, great. I'd have to say that the fact that it wasn't an LGBT film, the fact that it had the potential to reach mainstream. And also the fact that it's just an action film, and everybody loves, you know, action films with cops and bad guys. So, those two things. The fact that it was an action film, and I got to work with Patrick, who's an awesome actor, and Harry, who's a phenomenal cinematographer. So, I couldn't say no. I could not say no.
Mm. What about you, Patrick? What drew you to this role?
What drew me to the role was the meat on the bones. You know, every actor looks for that beauty in every script. And when I saw when I talked to the series first, and she explained to me how it was, and it was an action series, and when I read the script and the character, I was attracted. I was greatly attracted, and I like the way Marco flowed, and that really drew me to that character. You know, just the way he did everything he did, and the twists that come along in the show are crazy. Like it's crazy, but just the characters really drew me in.
You know, I'm going to respect Terry, and I'm not going to ask you what happened after the first pilot. I'm not going to ask you what happened to you. I'm just going to wait and be patient like everybody else. But if you want to tell me, that's okay. I'm just saying. Don't do that.
You don't want to tell me. No.
You just want to satisfy my standpoint hunger. I understand.
Not going to happen.
What, Jordan and Patrick, what was your favorite thing about filming this this pilot and this series? Tell me about that.
I'd have to say the action, because, you know, we watch so many shows where everything is just so, like, straight-laced, and, you know, the action is what really did it for me. And just the opportunity to work with real actors. I mean, these people that I'm with on set. These are real actors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, this guy, he's done a lot. He's got a long resume, and I forgot the question, but
now, what was your favorite part of filming this?
the favorite part.
How many glasses of wine have you had, Jen?
You don't know me. Yeah, you know me like that.
Ooh. I know you.
No, I'd have to say the my favorite part so far is the outside scene where you know, we had the caution tape and all of that, and
mm-hmm.
What's his name? Oh, gosh, help me out, Terry.
Not
John.
Onyx Moore.
No, with Onyx, the guy that got shot in the head.
Slim.
What was his name?
Slim.
Yes.
Jamal.
That was the best part, because, you know, we were out there, we were in the elements. It was hot. It was like, what, 102 degrees at night.
Oh my God! And you had a suit on too. I know you were hot.
Oh, yeah. We were in Kirtland. Yeah, we were in Kirtland.
Yeah, man. Light, makeup was running. It was insane. But I liked that scene because it felt so real. You watch TV. And you see these things, but you don't know what people go through to create those scenes. And Ty, oh my gosh, she's amazing. She's an amazing makeup artist. And to see this guy land on the ground with a bullet hole in his head, even I was convinced that this guy was shot in the head, okay? So it was just amazing to be in that whole setting where you're kneeled down by a guy who has a hole in his head, like, It was so surreal. It was like
Detective Stillwell.
I really did.
Right.
On some real stuff,
right.
Michelle. It was an interesting scene. So that was probably my favorite part so far. Yeah, I'd have to say that.
What about you, Patrick? What's been your favorite part of filming this so far?
My favorite part of filming so far. To be honest, Terry said it a few times, but it really is the team. Like, I admire the bond that we have as a team. Like, it could be just the format, you know. Like, I mean, we may spend some hours on the set, you know. We may spend a couple hours out there, but the dedication of each person and each individual is what really, it blows my mind, you know. And you really are working with real actors, like, you know. I'm on set with Borges and Naomi, Terry and Johnny. And, you know, we get tips from each other. You know, boy tells me, hey, Patrick, do this right here. Try this right here. So it's like things like that, you know, I mean, I really admire. But scene-wise, like, my favorite scene was that ending fight scene, because it really is so, it's so intense. And, I mean, we do it numerous times, and, you know, doing fight scenes, in the hot room, you know, you do get a little sweaty. So things became very real. And, you know. And
makeup running. Is it makeup running?
Exactly.
When you, when you put yourself in a situation when, like, I mean, as an actor, when you really become that character and you see a gun pointing at your face, it things become real, you know? It becomes very real, and you see it as I'm about to die. Like, this could be my end, but Marco doesn't see that, you know? If you're going to pull the trigger, save me out today, I'm ready to go home, you know? But, I mean, that's my favorite part.
Marco don't play. My favorite scene with Marco is this. He gets accosted in some alleyway. Some little dude comes up to him. He's like, man, you can't be on my corner. And he's like, oh, okay, bop, let me take your hat. Hey, give me your shirt.
Give me your shirt.
Give me your shirt.
My size. Give me your shirt. Michelle, I showed this scene to my dad, right? I showed the scene to my dad. He's like, in the kitchen, right? He was like, I like that guy. He's my favorite actor. I'm like, okay.
You're like,
that guy's
I'm young. I call him
Young Denzel. Yeah, call me Young Denzel. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just excited to see where this goes. Tell me, how did this role challenge each of you? Because I know for you, Dredd, this is different than what you've done before. And Patrick,
right.
You know, how did this challenge you?
How did it challenge me? Really, the action aspect of it is very challenging. I mean, I do a lot of physical things already, but, like, really trying to portray, like, you're actually being hit when you're not really being hit, that's challenging. You know, it, like, some scenes, you know, I had to, like, realize, okay, I have to really react to something that's not actually there, you know, so, like, fake punches and stuff, like, the acting is, you know, it's challenging, acting, like, when you've been doing it for, you grow in acting, but, like, action stuff, taking hits that don't really exist is, like, the most challenging part to me of all.
Okay. It's like working on a green screen almost, and you're like, yeah, I don't see anything around me, but, right, okay.
Right.
Okay. What about you, Dredd?
Oh, I'm sorry. I hadn't really gotten to the most challenging part of my character. It's coming. I know it's coming. I'm a little nervous.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited.
Wait. Do you have a fight scene? I need to know if you have a fight scene. Because I am so tuned in for that fight scene.
You asked too many questions, Michelle. Okay. Sarah said you asked too many questions. Okay, so I'm gonna follow my director right now. So I haven't reached my most challenging part of the series yet. But
that's
it's
a
coming.
Great answer, Dredd. Whatever.
I'm giving you
seven side eyes right now. I thought we were cool, Dredd. I thought we were cool.
Seven. That's an odd number, Michelle. You got to say even number.
Dredd, seven is a number of perfection. It is not the wrong answer. It's the perfect number.
You're right. But no, I haven't gotten to that point yet. But it's coming, and like I said, I'm nervous, but I'm also excited about that.
I'm gonna respect Terry because I will poke and prod and try to get answers out, but I'm not gonna do that.
I will block, kick, punch every last one of them.
I just want to get y'all beat up.
You know what? People don't realize. Terry and I are really
cool.
They know what it is. Everybody don't know, but Terry and I are really cool. And this lady right here is phenomenal, and she pushes us. And just because you're cool, that doesn't matter. When you get all set, she treats you. Yeah, it doesn't matter how cool you are. She treats everybody the same way, and she expects you to perform at the highest level. And if you're not,
that's
she's going to tell you. She's going to turn her camera off, and she's going to tell you, look here, this is what I need you to do. This is what you're not doing. This is, you know. So I respect every aspect.
She's
like,
going
to
have
so real.
She's going to have to come to Jesus with you.
Exactly. You know, you don't get defensive because you realize, hey, this is learning experience. So, yeah, that's my homie, but that's also my director. So it's all respect.
Good, good. Well, I think this is the perfect time to take some callers. I know we've had one caller online that has been waiting for a while. They pressed one a while ago. Just FYI, if you are listening on the phone and you would like to ask Patrick or Dred a question, in order to do that, I need you to press one, and I'll know to cue you in. So what we're going to do right now is we are going to go to caller with the last four digits, 7899. It's from the Atlanta area, last four digits, 7899. You are live on the air with ADG on air. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Who are we talking to?
This is Blacks Casanova. I just wanted to call in and give my folks Terry, Drez, right, and Shells, you know, big shout outs on Standpoint, man. I'm behind y'all 100 already.
That's what's up, man.
Aw. Thank you.
You know we love him, man.
Oh, I love y'all too, man. Y'all hold it down, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to stay warm, so, you know, give me another episode so I could do that. You know what I mean?
Coming soon.
I know.
For sure.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in. We truly appreciate your support. All right. Let's see. We have another caller I don't know what 912. Maybe Georgia. I think this is Georgia. The last four digits, 1449. 1449, you are live on the air with AGG on air. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking with Chelsea.
Hi, Josie. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Do you have a question for one of our cast members? Josie?
Hello?
What would you like to say, honey? We dropped Josie. She looks like she's there, but she's not.
We lost her.
Aww. Oh, man. Aww. Okay, so we have another caller from area code 4309. Just a reminder, if you are trying to call and ask questions, I need you to hit 1 on your phone, and we'll cue you in. So last four digits, 4309. You are live on the air with AGG on air. How can I help you? What are you doing? How are you? Who are we talking to? That was like eight questions.
this is Boris Etienne, also known as Johnny.
Yeah!
Hey,
the villain!
Johnny!
Hey.
Johnny, I'm so mad at you! I don't like you!
Now I was calling in, you know. I had a question, you know. You know, I had a question for Terry. I was going to ask, you know, who was her favorite character in directing?
Wow.
Johnny, that is not fair. That's not fair.
That's not fair.
But see, you know what? Y'all know how I am, so, you know, I don't care. So I'm going to say it out loud. Johnny is my first favorite. My second favorite is Patrick. No, because reason being, Patrick, he gives A1. Like, he's just phenomenal. Boards, we had our ups and downs. I loved him at first, then I didn't like him, and then I like him now, so he's like my favorite. So it's like, yeah, Johnny is my favorite, because when you guys start seeing the rest of the episodes, you're going to see a few of our lead characters make a transition. So that's all of the stuff I'm going to give you guys. But you're going to see a couple of the characters make a transition. You know, a lot of twists and turns, a lot of stuff. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Does Dred become a crooked cop? What? Did I hear that?
There you go again. But when you see episode two, then I want to really, you know, see everyone's opinions really start to formulate on what they think is going to happen and things like that. Because I mean, we're pretty straightforward in every episode, so I mean, you guys are gonna love it. You're gonna love it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Y'all gonna lose y'all's mind at the end.
Oh man!
At the end of every episode, really.
But true, yeah.
So we're gonna keep. I'm sorry, I'm so bad with names. I know character Johnny, but Johnny, what is your government name, first name?
Oh no, you good. It's Borge, just like George Whitaby.
Borge. Okay, so Borge, keep staying on the line with us. We're going to keep you on.
Okay.
It's because you're part of the family. So I think that
Josie is back.
So let's go ahead and try to bring Josie back on because she was so determined she called back. So, Josie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. It's actually Chelsea, not Josie. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just calling to give a shout-out and tell you guys that I love watching your series and that I can't wait to watch more.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate you calling back to let us know that, hon. Or not us, but them. Yes. Thank you.
All right.
For that.
Thank you.
Okay, so, gosh, this has been so much fun. I don't want it to end. But I do have some more questions, so it's not quite ending. Let's see. So how can, Terry Fells, how can listeners, the AGD listeners, how can they support you? How can they get on board? Where can they subscribe to your YouTube channel? How can they find you on Facebook? Are you guys on Twitter? How can people connect with you?
Okay, how about we're everywhere? We're in your house at night. We're everywhere on your computers, all of them. Yeah.
That sounds kind of stalker.
You can find
call Detective Stillwell.
You can we have a website. You can reach us online, Standpoint that is spelled normally, you know, Standpoint STTX.com. So that's Standpoint, S is in Sam, P is in Paul, T is in Tom, S is in Sam. I think I said it right. Yeah.
Okay.
StandpointSPTS.com. On Twitter and Instagram, it's the same, StandpointSPTS. Let's see. Facebook, same, Facebook.com/Standpoint. Yeah, that's pretty much about it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And the website. Do you tell them the website?
Yeah, the website is StandpointSPTS.com. Yeah, Standpoint. S is in Sam, P is in Paul, T is in Tom, S is in Sam.com.
Okay. Now, what are the plans for the show? I know that you guys are online right now. Where do you want to take this? When Standpoint grows up, what is it going to be?
Tell them, Terry.
Honestly, I can't really answer that question because for me, I'm just going with the flow. I'm loving what I'm doing, and I'm just going with the flow. We're launching an Indiegogo campaign soon, so hopefully we see you guys support it as well. We have a season 2 lined up also. I will give you guys that much. You haven't seen nothing yet, man. That's what we got planned for y'all. They, you know, give y'all keep giving you guys the shock factor, the gritty streets of Atlanta. The way you've never seen Atlanta on film or in a TV show. Like, we're really showing the real Atlanta in our show.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Stay tuned. Yeah. Yeah, we're in all the hoods, all the suburbs. We airwear.
He's an airwear.
Yeah. Straight like that. We airwear.
All right, before we wrap up, I want to give everybody to say one last thing. We'll start at the top with you, Terry, and we'll work it on down. So, Terry, you take it. One last thought, one last message you want to give to the AGG listeners.
Well, for one, I want to shout out our production team, shout out our cast, shout out to the people who provided us locations. And I also want to shout out Fast Money, Inc. for providing the theme song. I so love that. Who else I want to shout out? All the fans, all the supporters, and we ask for your continued support throughout the series. Just bear with us because we pushed the pilot out to test the waters a little bit just to see if you guys would like the show. So now we're seeing that you guys really love it. We're going to keep it moving. So we're going to get this second episode out to you guys as soon as possible. And we love you guys, and we just ask for your continued support.
All right. Thank you. Fels, what about you? What's your last party words with us?
I'm just really glad to be a part of this project. I really feel it's you know, groundbreaking, and it's pushing the boundaries further to where there will be no boundaries between our community and the heterosexual community and the independent community, period, in general. It's just a blessing to be a part of it. I thank all the fans for
tuning in and continuing tuning in and sharing and showing the support, because I know that just beyond the standpoint, you know, it's not just about us being great, but it's about making others great as well. So.
Good. I like that. Hey, listen, before we get on to the last class, we do have one more caller. We're going to go ahead and take them. Caller with the last four digits, 2629, you are live on air with AGG on air. Hello, how are you?
Actually, what happened was I clicked off and I just clicked back on. Something happened with my phone.
Oh, and of course. Oh, that was answering. I love technology. Well, Patrick, why don't we let you go ahead and go? What is, if you had one last thing to say to the listeners of AGG on air, give it to us.
One last thing to say. Okay, well, real quick, my information, if you want to look me up on Instagram, Patrick_the_one. I just want to say, me and Terry got some stuff coming for you guys, some crazy films coming.
We got
some things coming, so I'm saying please really be on the lookout. We're about to blow up. BLOWP. I have Onyx Moore actually in the building with me right now. My friend Onyx says, "What's up? You got a peace sign up in here?" And that's all I want to say.
And that's Officer White. Onyx plays Officer White on the show.
I did see that the short that you guys recently put out. It was called The Better Half or The Other Half.
Better half.
Patrick, why you gotta kill your brother?
See, the thing was, it's actually
why did you do that?
It's actually Cain and Abel's story, and we just put a little modern day twist on Cain and Abel. So you know, I had to call it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you want to answer that question?
I got
and,
it. Why you kill a brother?
That's it.
Now I get it. It's Cain and Abel. Okay. All right. Well, Bork, what about you? Thank you for joining our show, by the way.
Yeah. No,
what would you like to tell the villain or the viewers about your villain character status? That I'm so mad at, by the way.
Yeah, well,
oh,
it's okay.
Oh, you didn't
okay.
wake up in that hospital.
Well, you know, everybody loves a bad guy, you know, and at the end of the day, everybody loves a bad guy. It's a role that somebody got to do, you know what I'm saying? So I'll gladly assume that role. But, you know, definitely to the viewers and all the fans, I just want to say we love y'all. We appreciate the support. Please tell your friend to tell your friend to tell your other friend to go and keep, you know, to look out for it. We're going to keep putting in this work because we know that there's support, and we love y'all for that. Right on the Patrick tip, you know, go ahead and follow me at B_EFFY. Again, that's B_EFFY on Instagram, Twitter, all that. And just keep looking out for us, man, and we appreciate the support.
Well, awesome. Thank you. And last but certainly not least, my good friend, somebody who is very near and dear to me, Dred, I love you.
Oh, I love you too, Michelle.
What would you like to say to viewers and standpoint listeners to AGG? You know you have a long following here. The women of A Girl's Guide love them some Dred Carpenter.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No, I just want to say thank you to all of our supporters and everyone that, you know, that's watching, all the viewers, because if it wasn't for the viewers, there's no way we can make this thing go. You know what I'm saying? So thank you so much to the supporters. And I want to say this because I was talking to Terry about this the other day. I had somebody hit me up and they said, if it's not LGBT, I don't want to see it. Understand something. If you're a true fan, you're going to support no matter what we do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you're a supporter of our craft, you're going to watch whatever we do. And
well,
if you don't, period, oh well, because there's going to be people that are going to support and that are going to watch regardless. But, yeah, so with that being said, we appreciate those that support us wherever we go and whatever we do and whatever we're putting out. So, yeah. That's that. And
Straight up.
Straight up.
I love that.
As far as contact, you can find me on Instagram at TheOfficial, D-R-E-D. There's no A. The Official Dred. And you can find me on Twitter at TheOfficialDread as well. So that's that.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Dread. Thank you. Thank you to all of you. Go ahead, City.
No, I just said thank you for supporting, you know, all that other good stuff.
Always, always. I'm always going to support you guys. Well, I just want to say thank you again to the cast and the crew and the creator of Standpoint. I am super excited about where the show is going. And Dred, I think you hit the nail on the head, is that while it's not an LGBT show, it does have some LGBT roots. It's got some LGBT stars and some creators. But the beautiful thing about our community is that we are able to embrace the whole spectrum. And as you have your fans, I'm sure that they would want to see you branch out and flourish in other roles. And it's just important that we support. Whether the storyline is LGBT or the creators are LGBT, we need to support our communities, bottom line. So, yep. I want to thank you all for coming on tonight, every single one of you. I know that you all are busy. I know you have a lot of work to do. I specifically need all of y'all to get back to episode 2 so that I can see what happens after that hospital, because I'm in my feelings about all of that right now. I'm so deep in my feelings. But I know that this is the beginning of a great movement with Standpoint. I definitely see so many episodes and so many seasons coming out of this, because I think that you have you're doing something different. There's nothing like you right now online. So I appreciate that you are bringing us diverse content and doing it really well. So thank you. Thank you.
Shout out to a girl's guy, Michelle, and them.
Michelle, thank you.
All of that.
Thank you. We love to support what's happening in our community. So as we wrap up our show, I just want to tell you that we will be back in 2 weeks on February 26th. Where we get to talk to the members of the Empower team who are bringing us their version of the Vagina Monologues. Now, they've done this before. Yes. Empower will be in the house. I'm excited. I'm not in Atlanta, so I don't get to see the production, but I get to talk to the crew. And I understand that they have a couple different twists to the traditional Vagina Monologues, which is why I'm so interested to have them online. This truly is an LGBT version of the Vagina Monologues, and I appreciate their voice in what they're doing. Make sure that you visit our sponsor, Tag Magazine, and you can reach them at tagmagazine.com. That is tagmagazine.com. If you've never checked them out, go on, subscribe. And if you happen to want to get, you know, the version of, you know, the wedding announcement, not wedding announcement, but the engagement spread, that mini spread. I don't think it's a huge spread, but we have a mini spread. Me and TDD Debt, get your subscription to Tag Magazine. And I happen to write for them, so you may actually get to see an article of me in there as well. Support the people in our community who are doing things to support us. Our writers, our business people, our actors, our entrepreneurs. Let's support each other. So remember, here at A Girl's Guide, I have two life mottos. Number one is give away what you need the most. I bring you AGG on air because I believe that we do not heal in isolation, but in community. So I love you all. Thank you. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll be back on February 26th. Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Night-night.
Bye.
Night-night.
I'm going night-night.
Step one.
Standpoint.
Is it time to hang up now? Because I don't want to hang up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can still tape, but everybody who's listening is going to hear what we have to say.
Oh, that's fine. Hey now.
This is AGG After Hours.
Yeah, this is like the behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. That's what I meant, not after hours. Yeah, that was so
nice. Come get your cup.
No, behind the scenes.
Come get your cup.
All right, guys. You guys are stupid. All right. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. And definitely let me know what you're doing. I'm going to support as much as I can. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Kisses, hugs. Echo.
You have been listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at http://voicerepublic.com.